All right, we're live, coming in hot once again. Have done away with all the fluff, have done away with the intros and the outros for the podcast. Why? Because I don't want to waste any of your time out there. So, yeah, I got to try something new. Just going to try taking these coming in hot. So while YouTube sends out the notifications, does its thing. For those that have hit the replay button, welcome wherever you're listening in or watching in, be it YouTube Full 30, the audio podcast world, wherever. It's October 19th, 2020. Time for a little CloverTac podcast lounge. And let me make sure the YouTube side of everything is up. It is. Looks like we're running good. There's a couple things going on tonight for those of you that have come in early, are here early. First of all, TJ was out there, said it was his birthday. So happy birthday, TJ. And got a world premiere, maybe. I don't know exactly what to call it, but something that I was not allowed to release to the public until today. Video, Instagram, pictures, anything else, wasn't allowed to do it. And we're going to do it here. Going to get a first look at something right cool here on this show tonight, which is kind of neat. And we might, fingers crossed, may have a little YouTube trivia. We used to do Instagram trivia when this podcast was over on the Instagrams. I've got a couple patches lined out. Obviously, stickers and other swag will get thrown into that prize pack as well. So stick around, probably somewhere closer to the top of the hour. Coming back around, we'll do some YouTube trivia. So I want to put the world premiere on hold for just a little while, give people a chance to get in here. Also, do the same thing for the trivia with every Monday. It's y'all's show. So be it out there in the live chat. You can send us down as many rabbit holes as you possibly want to. And more often than not, we're going to chase those rabbits down those holes. Real quick, one more thing before I bring in my partner in crime this week. One more thing is that the Outlaw Hatfield, I think, is doing his show probably, I think it's directly after this, or maybe an hour later. I can't remember offhand. It's going to have a really good topic. I'm going to hop over there if I'm able to. He's going to be talking about the new firearm owners. And I don't know, just go from there. I know that's going to be the topic. So it will be an interesting show probably that he's got. Go check him out, the Outlaw Hatfield. With all that out of the way, bring in Mr. Flying Rich. What's up, bro?
Happy to be here. Happy to podcast. Makes my work day fun. Look, got something to look forward to.
Yeah, you were just over there with Joe on Shooting Gallery New England. So go check Joe out too, guys, if you have time. Don't do it now. Stick around. I want you to stay here. But after this, go check Joe out. But Joe's good people. But yeah, y'all got off into the weeds a lot with this QATF thing.
Yeah, I didn't read up a whole lot on it, and so I'm certainly not as knowledgeable as you on it. As far as I looked at it, I'm like, more ATF BS shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. Nobody's going to be safer. Nobody's going to be less safe. Nobody's – if there was a meaningful thing, if it was like the SIG P226 that if you drop it wrong, it's going to blow your NADs off, yeah, we got an issue here. But there is nothing about that that's going to make it any kind of different to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that's where a lot of the confusion, a lot of everything is coming into play, because our side wants to, we've got a real problem with this on our side of the 2A argument, the whatever it might be. Our side wants to go off and chase squirrels. Just like I said earlier, live chat, send us down those rabbit holes. That's fine. It's what we're right here for on a Monday. But if we're wanting to be able to think critically about stuff and understand things, you can't really fix an issue unless you understand an issue. Ultimately, we're going to have to slow down and we're going to have to take it kind of one step at a time. And so that's what I hear immediately. They go, well, the ATF sent Q a cease and desist letter. Immediately everybody jumps to, oh, the ATF is overstepping their bounds, blah, 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 blah. Well, you've seen one letter that Q released. So that's obviously going to paint Q in a better light. Let's wait. Let's get a little more of the story. Let's figure out what's going on. And I think the stay that the ATF gave Q, I think people are starting to understand now that if they had Q dead to rights, which honestly they probably did have Q dead to rights even, but if they wanted this to be more political than what it was, then I don't think they would have given them a stay. And I think what we're gonna see is we're gonna see Q gets their T's dotted, their I's crossed as far as with the ATF, and we move forward. The cease and desist was for Q. That, to me, that's obvious when you look into manufacturing requirements. And make no mistake, if you're a manufacturer, just like if you're an FFL dealer, as a private citizen, you operate by a different set of rules and regulations than a dealer, which operates by a different set of rules and regulations than a manufacturer, which operates by a different set of rules and regulations than an importer. And I've talked to a lot of importers, EAA, Rock Island, you name it, on podcast over the years, and it's horrible. It's horrible. I tell a story about EAA bringing the Gerson line, which is the Breda 92 copy of handguns into the country. And EAA filed the paperwork for the Gen 3 before they filed the paperwork for the Gen 4, but they didn't name it the Regard, and they wanted to go back and change it to the Regard Gen 3 so that it matched with that. They had to completely restart the process to do that importation. So is it silly? Is it ridiculous? Does it really help anybody in any way, shape, form, or facet? No, but there's the regulations. They're there. And if you want to play the game, you got to play by the rules, unfortunately, until we can get the rules changed. And I think that's what we've seen, Q. It's a length of pull issue. Now, one of my regular viewers, James Pellerin out there, mentioned something about a picture that he's seen. I haven't verified this. I haven't seen it. I haven't verified that it's factual or anything else, but he says supposedly they were measuring the length of the pull wrong. I never did get a clear answer of who was measuring the length of pull wrong. The ATF has been measuring the length of pull on stuff since that was even terminology, since they first, the alphabet was first created. They've been measuring length of pull. So I don't think the ATF would have measured it wrong. Now, it's possible Q measured something wrong. And ultimately, that's the issue. A lot of people, again, don't grasp this, but when you build a firearm, you're a manufacturer, and you build a firearm to start stamping serial numbers on and sell, that firearm has to go through an ATF process. And the ATF says, okay, this is a pistol, this is a rifle, qualifies for this, okay, it's legal to own, blah, 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 blah. And what happened, Q, this is the way I'm understanding things, because SB Tactical had already got an opinion from the ATF on this brace. Q did not bother factoring all of that into the Honey Badger when it comes to length of pull, which it did change the length of pull. So they submitted their paperwork for the Honey Badger. They got all of that approval. Then they slapped the brace on it, and that's not the way it goes. And a lot of people out there also don't understand this, and this is what's always worried me about pistol braces and other things, even bump stocks before we had the regulations ban, essentially, that we've got nowadays. It's not even regulated anymore. It's flat out banned. But people would say, oh, well, I've got the opinion letter that was sent from XYZ company who manufactures these. Well, here's the problem. The ATF wrote that letter for XYZ company. So I've talked about this before, and I've had people say, hey, explain what we do, because I hold multiple letters, most reloading related, that I've requested opinions from the ATF. Why? Because I'm not going to go on somebody else's letter or the trust factor that somebody says, oh, it's okay to do this. Right. Because even dealers, manufacturers, distributors, they can get it wrong. That, which is obvious, in my opinion, with the issue that we're in now with Q, right? They can slip up. Mm-hmm. They can do things wrong. I don't want it coming back on me. So what you need to do, first of all, is reach out to your local office, your field office for the ATF, and they should help you through that process. They can't make a decision. Now, if you live in a really horrible state or something like that, and you do have some really bad agents or whatever at the local field office, maybe not. At that point, go to the regional level, wherever your regional level is. If you can't work up the chain that way, you could go straight to making a phone call to Virginia, quite honestly. And I've talked with my local field office, the regional office here, and folks in Virginia on multiple occasions. I approach them respectfully. I'm looking for clarification because I don't want to break the law or get in trouble. They respect that. And I've been met with nothing but help to get all of that done. So that's kind of the way we're going down through there. Rich White says Q didn't use the SB tactical brace. They used one of their own manufacturer. It's similar to though with the adjustable stuff, but that's what I'm saying. They assumed that since SB Tactical, it was okay for them to make it that, pistol braces are good. We'll just throw ours on there. And they didn't, like I said, they didn't submit theirs for the verification like SB Tactical has done, which would be a totally separate thing too. To get ATF approval on the brace is one thing. To get ATF approval on the firearm with the brace is something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you brought up something in Joe's chat, Rich, which was, this is crazy. I can buy a pistol or buy a lower receiver, upper receiver, whatever, put them together, put whatever brace I want on, do whatever I want. And it's like, that's true, but you're not manufacturing in them and putting serial numbers on them. That's the difference. So, again, it's those weird laws and regulations that apply differently to different people, right? And that's a problem we've got throughout our entire structure, whether we're talking about local government, state government, federal government.
Aviation is the same thing.
Corporations, bureaucracy, whatever. There's no consistency with everything. But honestly, I mean, look at the hoops that manufacturers, dealers, and stuff have to go through. Do we want that level of regulation on the personal level? My answer would be no, but give me your thoughts. I'm talking too much here, Rich.
No, so aviation, now that you talked about it, I'm thinking about aviation. If you could have a Lycoming 0320 on a Cessna and have a Lycoming 0320 on a Piper something. And if you have a oil filter bracket that would be 90 degree oil filter bracket and you do the paperwork for the Cessna, it's not legal on the Piper.
Huh.
Even though it's exactly the same thing, exact same engine, you would have to do a whole new paperwork process on a Piper. So, yeah, I'm like, oh, wow, that smelled like something I knew. Yeah.
Right. Now, Defense Dad has clarified out there. He says, and maybe I didn't clarify this well earlier, but he says that SB Tactical manufactures the brace for Q. He's saying A, but he means Q. So yeah, that is correct. It's a different brace. But that's what I'm saying. SB Tactical has the letter for the brace,
right?
But that doesn't apply to Q. That applies to SB Tactical.
Right. So this is legal. This is legal, but together they're not.
It's semantics. It's silly. It's ridiculous. I understand, but that's the regulation. It's like arguing over should the speed limit be this, that, or the other. You know what I mean? It's like we can sit here and say that it's ridiculous all day long, but if that's the way it's on the books, that's the way it's on the books. So we need to make sure that we're, and especially with new firearm owners coming in. Good Lord, can you imagine the uproar with all of this and new firearm owners are coming aboard and now they're like, good Lord, gun companies are getting in trouble with the ATF. The gun community that I just got involved in is freaking out over stuff. What in the world's going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, Joe was talking a little bit about that he is in a liberal state, and people that aren't conservatives are buying firearms and not knowing what to do, or they're new to them, or they haven't been in the firearm, you know, community in a very long time, and they're rejoining. So, yeah, I kind of hope with the other side joining us in our passion for the 2A, maybe it's not a passion for the 2A, that maybe they'll be a little more sensitive to the BS we deal with.
Mm-hmm. So just going through some of the chat. Yeah, Calaveras out there saying good people seem to always want the Hail Mary or nothing rather than the incremental. I talk about that all the time, put it into football analogies. And yeah, I mean, in the infringements that we have now have been brought forth in the ground game. 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, just pound, you know, ground and pound, or pound and ground, right? And meanwhile, we're wanting an 83-yard pass. You know?
I forgot you're the football capital of the world. Like every AM FM station has high school, college football Friday night, right?
But I'm not a big sports person in general.
But it's like, so you can't find that old time rock and roll station because it's got college, high school football.
You're not going to on Friday or Saturday. That's for sure. That's for certain. I can guarantee you. But I mean, but the analogy is true. I mean, we've got to work on that ground game. But you know, the problem is when we work on the ground game. And we're getting way off in the weeds and down a rabbit hole here, and that's quite all right. But the problem is when we get people that don't, like Calaveras said out there, that don't want to, they see the ground game is what's compromised. Well, it's compromised. Yeah. Well, it's compromised because you can't gain 83 yards at one time. If you will look at the wins that we have, and I've got a problem with this because people don't relish the wins. And thankfully, folks like Jared with Guns and Gadgets and Johnny B over there, some of these other ones, thankfully, they do report on and talk about some of the wins because we have wins in the 2A all the time. The problem that we have faced for as long as I can remember is that nobody talks about that. They talk about the losses. And I think this is a dangerous idea. And we've got to break out of that and quit doing it because we talk about the new firearm owners, the 2 million or something that they estimate that's come on board in 2020. Well, when you join a team, right, you're a free agent. Let's go back to the sports analogy. You're a free agent and you've got two teams that are trying to sign you. One, all they do is talk about how much they lose. And one, they've got, all they talk about is how much they win. Which one are you gonna sign with? I mean,
the winner.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So we need to talk about the wins. We need to talk about, oh, we're winning our rights back. Even if it's the slightest, little, smallest, silly, goofy thing, it's a win. It's a yard. It may be a half a yard. It may be the length of a football. But by God, it's moving forward. And so we have to take that approach, I think.
Well, it's tough to see that between red flag laws, we're close to getting the Hearing Protection Act passed. So we had a lot of wind come out of our sails. And personally, look, I live on an acre and a quarter. I want to shoot on my property, and I'd love to have a suppressor because I don't want to piss off my neighbors. They don't want to hear it. I don't want them hearing it.
Right.
And show me the danger of people having suppressors. Like, I love how everybody always says in the United States, well, in Europe, they this. In Europe, they that. It's like, well, in Europe, they use suppressors.
Well, but is that a good analogy? Because in Europe, they've also got everything, anything and everything banned as well.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You got to keep your firearms at the local gun club, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So is that really a good analogy to use?
Yeah.
Are you willing to take suppressors? That leads into a question. I know exactly what the live chat out there is going to say, and in replay, comment below. But here's the question. We use that Europe analogy. Are you willing to take Europe gun control?
Nope.
So that you can get suppressors just off the shelf anytime you want them?
Well, and maybe the point is the contrast in that. So you're talking right. Europe is the land of no, but yet they have suppressors. Mm-hmm. But you could say, okay, well, it's in a more controlled environment, blah, blah, blah. But actually, many places in Europe to go hunting, you're required to have a suppressor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think in the United States, the mentality, or my daughter's a good example of this. My daughter's been around me and guns for most of her life, you know, for more than 2/3 of her life. There's been a gun in the house, and she's shot, but she's kind of squeamish. You know, now I don't want to shoot. Oh, guns scare me. Oh, put that away. I'm like, why? What's going on? What? I don't understand the logic on this. And she's like, well, I see in the movies this happens. I'm like, but you know, that's not real.
Right.
You know? And, all right. So I'm working from home. This is where I work. And right. She was in the kitchen, which is over there. And my office has carpet, but there's tile floors in the house. And I hear her yell fire. So I'm like trying not to like break any limbs on the way out there. So I'm trying to get there as quick as I can. She had an egg sandwich in the microwave with like tin foil paper. You know, it's like paper on one side. And it was like a candle fire. Like the can, like, what the heck? You know, I'm waiting to see
right
something a man right. needs to deal with.
Right.
So I take it out and I kind of pat it out with my hand. She's like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and if it's worse, just throw a towel on it. It's like, right. But in the TV and movies, you see, I'm like, that's because they soak them in gasoline. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I grabbed a rag and I grabbed a barbecue lighter and I showed her. I'm like, look, nothing happening. And of course, then a week later, we're walking on the beach. I'm like, wonder if you can have fires on the beach. She's like, don't you think the sand would catch fire? I'm like, oh, where'd I go wrong?
The sand would catch fire. That's interesting. Now, TPC out there, he says, when you move one step forward and 3 steps back, then call it a win, you're ignoring reality. I don't agree with your premise, unfortunately, because I don't think we move 1 step forward and 3 steps back. I think quite often it's just the opposite. We move 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And then you're not focusing on it. It would be interesting to see, and I don't know without spending a lot of time in parsing channels like Jared with Guns and Gadgets, maybe Truth About Guns, maybe Ammo Land, maybe some of these other sites, and compiling a list of all the wins and losses, all of the wins and losses, regardless of size. I think we've had more wins than losses over the last decade or so. We didn't have hardly any losses per se, or at least that many under Obama. Mm-hmm, and so, mm-hmm. And we've had a few under Trump, unfortunately,
yep.
But you're talking federal level. So then break it down at the state level. And I know that just here in Texas alone, I mean, we move forward 6-7 steps
you have statewide CCW now, right? Oh no, it's open carry.
We've got open. Yeah. We've got open or concealed, dealer's choice on that.
Yeah, Florida, we have concealed carry. Years ago, if you printed or like maybe your IWB and you reach up and then your shirt pulls up and somebody sees, that was a crime. Now they've done away with that.
Good.
So printing and accidental exposure, you know, isn't a crime anymore. But now we have red flag laws.
Right. Now, James, he's got a good point. He said it is a regional thing. He said some states have more losses in some states. They don't really see the losses. And that's true. But overall, the wins, I think overall we have more of a pro 2A tilt than an anti-2A tilt overall. And I think that if we can keep pushing that pro tilt further, it sets a contrast between those that the Californians, the New Yorks, the New Jerseys. We all know how vastly how much they contrast against things now, contrast New York, New Jersey, California against places like Texas, like Oklahoma, like Arizona, like I'm probably missing some of the most popular ones. Gun Snob did a great video on Most Friendly Firearms Day. So plug for him. Go check that one out.
Well, you're right. There's states that have come up with constitutional carry. Was it, Where was it said they they're not going to let any federal laws be enacted. Then somebody sold a silencer and they went, was it Kansas or Missouri?
Or was it Nebraska?
I think it was Kansas or Missouri.
It was one of them. I remember that. Yeah, it was a state issue, they said.
Yeah, and ATF came and got the guy. I don't know what happened with that.
So let's scroll up here because we had an interesting one here from Defense Dad. He said he was at a local Shields last week, and he said one of the panic buyers was raising a stink that he couldn't return the 9mm he bought. It's not Walmart. I don't know if he's talking about the firing ammo, but most of the local gun shops I know will take the ammo on return or a firearm. They'll do some kind of a trade or work with you. Big box stores, you could forget it. Firearms and ammunition are what you leave. I had one time years ago, my dad bought a Bushmaster AR-15. This has been years ago. Good Lord, probably 15 years ago. From Gander Mountain. Got it home and it had all kinds of issues. And he took it back and they did not do anything about it. So they would help him out. They would send it to Bushmaster. I mean, brand new. Took it home, brought it back. And they were like, well, we'll help you out. We'll send it to Bushmaster for you. It was gone for nearly a month. You know, they come back and everything was fine. But ridiculous, ridiculous. So shop local. Mm. That's the moral of that story for sure. So for those that are in here, just to kind of let you know on what's coming up here on the last half of the show, we're going to do a few things. I've got a world premiere of sorts, got a sneak peek at something for the very first time, maybe on the entire internet, that you guys are going to get a look at. And then also we'll do some YouTube trivia, so you'll have a chance.
You're keeping your clothes on, right? No clothes are coming
on. I'm going to do that. Yeah, nobody wants to see that. So speaking of the YouTube trivia, I'll send out a swag pack with some stickers and some other things, but it'll have two patches in there, which patches are always the popular one. I've got a Swagger Bipods patch here, and doesn't want to focus really super great, but that's okay. And then I've got a Lead Star Arms patch as well. So you'll get two patches and a bunch of other swag. Got some stickers in today, some really cool stickers that John Crump had sent me. You guys probably are aware of him, so probably throw maybe a couple of those stickers into the mix along with some other things that I got. I'll make you a really cool swag pack for the winner of that YouTube trivia, so stick around. It's coming up. What have we got? G-Web says guns and our freedom and liberty are ways of life, not finish lines to reach. Suggesting once we get good gun laws as some kind of place to rest is not realistic. No, absolutely agree on that. I think that's what happens more often than not. There's a lot of complaining now with the ammo shortages, with the firearm shortages and all this other stuff. And people are going, why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why don't those companies prepare for it? Well, they don't prepare for it because this Trump slump was a real thing. People get comfortable and companies lose money because people aren't buying at a normal, regular pace for them to do that. There's always been these cycles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm an opportunistic buyer, you know, November, December last year, 2019, I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe I should pick up a couple thousand rounds of 9mm, you know, let me see if there's any good price. I'm like, yeah, prices are the same as they have been. There's no deal. I'm not going to buy any. And boom. Yeah, so it's kind of like dollar cost averaging. You know, plan on buying 1,000 rounds a month, you know, whether it's 45, 9mm or whatever. And you know, sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
Or if you do that when it's good, you don't have to worry about when it sucks.
Now, Keith Gregory out there, he says, could you include a box of 9mm? You know, if you were local, or you want to drive down to Texas or whatever, that might could be arranged, depending on who wins. That might could be. I'm not shipping ammunition. I can tell you that right now. Not happening. Pain in the rear. Don't like doing it.
Well, you could just shoot in the general direction.
I guess so. Send them one at a time. Yeah. Aim high. Yeah. Now, Rich says that was Kansas that we were talking about with the suppressors earlier. So thanks, Rich. Appreciate that. TPC, bless his heart, is all I can say for TPC out there. He says in the 46 years he's been shooting, they go from constitutional carry to restricted to license, and now they're working to remove all concealed carry, so they're not winning anything there. So I don't know where TPC's from. Remind me, bro. I would appreciate it if you're still out there. But, yeah, I'm guessing California, New York, or New Jersey. I would be guessing. Was it Vermont? Oh, Connecticut. Connecticut's pretty bad, too. So is Massachusetts. God, there's so many, right? There's at least a half a dozen.
Anything in the Northeast?
45 ACP says there's a reason the local gun shops don't stock some manufacturers or guns. It's because of return issues. Yeah. You know, and you'll find all local small businesses that way. You know, I was in IT and computer and all of that for years, and I was really, really particular about the computers that I sold, the laptops I sold, the things I sold, because I handled most of the warranty in-house. And so if I dealt with crap models and stuff, like in the early days, nowadays touch screens and tablets are not that bad. They've drastically improved the technology. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about the mid 2000, let's say pre 2010, especially, man, some of those tablets and touch screens and where you could write on them, they were just garbage. The screens would go bad. The digitizers would go bad. They wouldn't pick up the pen movement. And I got burned on a batch of those one time. And I said, never again. I will not ever again do that. And one of the reasons, quite honestly, that I got out of that, I'd been in it so long, it was just time. But everything was going to cell phone and tablet as far as mm-hmm. technology. And I started getting into the tablet game a little bit, and I had people that would drop the tablet, I kid you not, and bring it back to me complaining that they dropped it and the screen broke. It should have been built better than that.
Wow.
And just weird stuff like that, or they would sit on it or leave it on the dash of their car in the hot Texas.
They would cook?
Yeah, or something like that. And then they would, oh, why is it not built better than that? And they would they would want warranty or want it to be replaced or something like that. I don't know why Gear Report says I'm delusional, but
so the problem with technology is when they made it gooey and easy enough for most people to use, then they had to dumb it down. And look, do we have better products that can withstand the heat, withstand the pressure, withstand dropping? Yeah, but look, the phone I'm using right now has a glass back. I dropped it about 4 inches above my tile floor. It shattered. Crap happens.
Now, Defense Dad out there says he did get some good news today. He said off subject, and it's never off subject on a Monday. Just realize that. Says Taurus is sending him a new G3C to replace the one that he had to send for repair last month with less than 200 rounds. Through. So not good.
Wow. I have never had a failure where I had sent something back to the manufacturer. Wait, let me. All right. I had an AR-10 upper from Palmetto State Armory that wasn't cut right, and I had to send it back, and they had to cut the chamber deeper. That was the only thing. But I've never had an operational firearm go bad. Hmm. You know, anything like that.
So G-Webs is talking about shipping. Well, here's the problem. Location, as in anything, location, 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 and my location sucks. He says you can ship ammo just like anything with UPS. All you got to do is put the blue sticker on it and set it ground. Here's the problem with that. There is no place without me taking it to the UPS hub an hour away. There is no place that will take it. The trucks will not pick it up. If they come by here and try to hand it to them, they won't do it. The only workaround that I've got is I can go through my local gun shop. Actually, my local gun shop has worked out something apparently. And so if I put their name on it, blah, 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 they don't have a problem. But individuals, they will not do it here. UPS is, and FedEx won't either. Picky about it. I know this because I've had to ship a couple firearms before. And it just, they won't take stuff like that. It's horrible. So if his dad says that the magazine release keeps falling out, that's not good on, I guess, on that Taurus G3C. So we're at about 35 minutes in. I think we're far enough in. We can take a look at this world premiere here. First look. So I've had this now for about, get a screen share going. And for those in replay, out there in the world, my apologies, because you may be in the audio form, not be able to look at this. So I will try to tell you, but here it is, the new all generation series of shotguns from Rock Island Armory. And I've had one of these for about 2 weeks now. Haven't been able to talk about it. It's been killing me. There is a video coming up, a first look video coming up. So be looking for that on the channel. But I just wanted to kind of show this thing off. Let me see if I can make the screen a little bit bigger for you here. But there it is. Really cool. Now, to my knowledge, you've got 12, 20, and 410 available. All the same styling that you see there. And what's and it also barrel lengths. There'll be the 20 and the 410. I'm not real sure about the barrel length options, but I know that on the 12 gauge you've got a 28, which is the one I've got, is the 28, and then you've got the 18 and a half inch as well. So I'm pretty sure they got the long and the short versions in the other gauges as well. But vent rim barrel, the cool thing about this, the thing that sticks out, I'm sure those of you looking at this picture are like, okay, that's interesting. Is how Magpul-esque the furniture on the shotgun
mm-hmm,
is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's not. At first glance, you think, oh, that's Magpul. Well, it's got a cheek riser that's adjustable, which, to my knowledge, Magpul doesn't have. And if you look at the handguard, the vents, or the pump, I should say, the vents, all of that are a little different as well. Going to make that a little bit smaller. So, yeah, I've had that for a couple of weeks now. And so be looking for more of that coming up. But they told us today we could talk about them and show pictures cool. And do stuff. So I thought, you know what? We'll do it on Monday show. Why not? So, if you're out there, if you're in a replay, comments below. Let me know what you think if you're able to see that. If you're out there in the live chat, same thing. Let me know. It's a shotgun. Some of you might not be into that, particularly the 28-inch. Barrel, removable chokes, obviously, as you can see in the picture there, which is nice. Comes with the improved cylinder, modified and full choke, I believe, on those. So I don't have a lot of experience with Rock Island Armory shotguns in any way, shape, form, or flavor. So be curious to hear some opinions if anybody out there has had any luck. It seems okay at this point. We're going to, like I said, I'm going to get out probably tomorrow, get a first impressions. It's just been kind of setting. I didn't even want to really do much content with it because I didn't want to risk putting something out too early. I get signals crossed or lines crossed, put something out early, and then, you know, tick off Rock Island Armory. Now, I know a lot of people are probably curious where this is made, and I bet you, if you're out there in the chat, you can guess where this thing's made. We'll see if somebody, we'll see if somebody is able to guess.
Oop.
But, 45 ACP, he got it. It says Turkey. Yep, that's where the vast majority of the cheaper, let's just say, shotguns are made.
Oh, I got a beautiful TriStar double barrel shotgun. The laser engraving, it's just gorgeous. And it was cheap. It was like, I think it was $275 at Walmart.
Without going, I looked into this several years ago, maybe even a decade ago or closer to it. You talk about double barrel, talk about specifically over and unders.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into it maybe 10 years ago, maybe not quite that long. I could not find one single company other than boutique style. There's some boutique style stuff in the U.S. I could find a, like a, what you would call a commercial manufacturer. I could not find a single one that was made in the U.S., not over or under.
Oh, wow.
Some of their other stuff is, the, you know, these other companies, but their over and unders all made overseas. Somewhere, not necessarily Turkey. A lot of them are made in Turkey, but there's some made in Russia. There's some made in Finland. There's some made in Germany. And some made South America, Argentina, for example. So we've got poor conservative says his turkeys are for dinner. I hear you. Well, what's interesting is you could essentially have turkey that you shot with a firearm or with a shotgun from Turkey. So is that the definition?
So it's of turkey providing turkey?
Right. So is that like poetic justice or something? I don't know. So there we go. We're going to take that off the screen, I think. We'll do a stop sharing and get our beautiful faces back on the screen. So just wanted to show that Red Dog out there. I agree with him. Says find a Ruger Red Label. Totally agree. Great shotguns. Good luck finding one. Good luck being able to afford it when you do find it. I wish they still did something. I don't know when Ruger stopped making those off of the top of my head. But speaking of rare, hard to find, you know, firearms and stuff like that. Before we get into the YouTube trivia, hopefully you guys are ready for that. Can win a couple of patches here. The Swagger Bipods patch, and the focus is going to be off, I know. And the Lead Star Arms patch there, along with some other swag. Before you get a chance to win that, just bring up, I did talk to Kerry Wanamaker from the Wanamaker Tulsa Arms Show. Biggest gun show in the world. I've talked to her recently. I do have, I say us, because if you're out there, if you work media, you want to go work that show in Tulsa. I know I'm committed to going. The gun snob is committed to going. Other than that, I think G-Web said he was going to try to make it. Outside of that, we still got some media passes available. So if you're out there, you're listening, you're a content creator, and you want to make the Tulsa trip in November, I believe it's November 14th and 15th that weekend, if I'm not mistaken, then let us know. And it's a great experience. If you haven't been, it would be a good opportunity for a working trip because it's the largest gun show in the world.
What airport would you go to?
Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure you would fly into Tulsa. That's a fairly large airport, so I would think anybody I've known that has ever flown in flies into Tulsa. So you're just right there. G-Web says 2015 is when Ruger dropped the shotguns, it said. So there you go.
Huh.
Be interesting to see, since they picked up Marlin. It would be interesting to see what happens moving forward with Ruger. If they get into Marlin, once upon a time, Marlin made a couple shotguns, a few different ones. So be interesting to see if they utilize that opportunity to switch their lineup, change their lineup somehow. So G-Web says Tulsa is a decent airport. It's not big, though, but no one has ever complained when they flew in. So, yeah, we've had several people flying in. So let's do the YouTube trivia real quick. This should be an easy one, sir, for the patches and other swag that I will throw into the box. Yes, I get it. The focus is on me, not up close. But Lead Star Arms, Swagger Bipod patches, and more. So recently I've thrown up some YouTube hashtag shorts videos on the channel. That's a new feature with YouTube that I've been playing around with. And so I've got three up currently. My question is, with all three, I have a different firearm that's featured and kind of push people to a longer, you know, a full video for that. So my question is, what was the first YouTube shorts video? What firearm is in that video? The very first YouTube shorts video that I threw up, what was the firearm featured in that video? That's the trivia question tonight. So you got about 15 minutes before it ends. Throw it out there in the live chat. I'm assuming somebody in the live chat probably is going to get the right answer. We'll give them some time and go from that. Well, we don't got to give time. James Pellerin is Johnny on the spot says the 617. We'll take that. It's a Smith & Wesson Model 617. That's good enough, though. I don't know that 617 applies to anything else. Is there a Porsche 617? I don't think so. Is there a plane that's a 617, Rich?
Not that I know of.
So there you go. Has to apply to the Smith & Wesson 617. So congrats, James. Hey. I'll get your little swag pack together with the patches. So, yeah, thanks for playing, man. And James is going to be the one to beat when it pops up from now.
I got Porsche trivia for you. Did you know the Porsche 911 was originally supposed to be the 901, but Peugeot had a patent on the number with a zero in between it?
Really?
So some early 911 parts, there's a serial number on every Porsche part. Some of the early ones are 901-something.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm not a car guy, so no, I didn't know that. But that's I find that interesting that you can have a patent on numbers with the middle is zero. That's awful. That's awful broad.
Yep.
That's awful broad.
So I guess that's for manufacturing, because there's racing Porsches like a 908. So I guess that was never a factor.
Right. Right. G-Webs out there says, the one where you wore black eye makeup and lip sync to the Miley Cyrus songs, what he said. Not a big Miley Cyrus fan. Sorry, just not. Just not. I can handle Katy Perry, Lady Gaga for sure. But, yeah, never got on board with the Miley Cyrus thing. Just never did. Our Tack of Daughters says, yeah. On the shorts, they've done four so far. Let me know, RTAC, if you're having any success with that at all.
Yeah, how are you doing with that?
Not very well, to be honest.
Okay.
But I haven't, I've only done three. I'm not giving up. And so one of the things, going to turn it into the last, you know, 10 minutes, I guess, to a nerd chat here. But with shorts, they only stay on the shorts shelf for a week. So that's, I think, is the, that's where we're going to catch traction, right?
Okay.
Outside of a week, it acts like a normal video. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The problem with the shorts shelf, and if you're not familiar with a shelf, when you pull up your mobile app for YouTube or your YouTube on the browser, those lines of videos you see is what they call a shelf, right? So some countries, we don't have it in the US yet, but some countries have a shelf. So it stands to reason that I'm not doing that well, really, because when you look at, I'm like 93 or 96 or something percent U.S. And so if it's showing in other countries, no wonder I'm not getting any kind of traction on it, right? So, but I do want to play around with the concept a little bit before that feature really takes off and is implemented fully worldwide, especially here in the U.S. The other thing is it works a little bit differently, because in these other countries where they do have it rolled out, you actually have in your YouTube app, you actually have a shorts button that you hit to record. So when you go in and you say create a video, upload a video, whatever, it says it's got an actual YouTube short button that flips over to an app that you use to record that video. And it works. It's a ripoff of TikTok. Let's be honest.
Yes. Yep.
YouTube was very opportunistic, seen some of the political issues with TikTok and said, hey, we don't know how this is going to end up, but we can certainly implement this. We got the backing of Google and the infrastructure of YouTube and everything else. Not that difficult for them to pull off. And so they started rolling it out. But once it hits, it's fully implemented. And at least for that first week, you're able to possibly get that YouTube Shorts on your on a shelf, you know, your viewers, different viewers' homepages on that shelf. Then I potentially see it as a way to push to old videos, old content, maybe to tease upcoming new content or something like that. But in and of itself, it's not going to be optimal for monetizing. It's not going to be optimal for watch time or anything like that.
It's got to be 60 seconds or less, right?
It's got to be 60 or less, but YouTube is going to give priority to stuff around the 15-second mark.
Oof.
So if you want any chance at it really doing well, you're going to have to pare it down. And what can you say other than show a firearm and say, it's so-and-so,
look for the video
here, or go. Yeah, exactly. That's about all the time you've got to do it. The one I dropped today was about 10 seconds. The first one, I think, was maybe 17 or 18. The second one was 15 or 16. I finally got it down to like 10 seconds today. But it's hard to do, especially if, you know, if you're not talking fast, because you kind of almost got to be the micro machine man, you know, talking fast as well, which sucks. So I don't know if Artak responded out there with how well everything. Oh, he says the Kel-Tec P17 has done okay. So that's good. DeVistad says shorts. I wear them year round. So there you go. Not sure what Rich White's talking to James. Says the Ghostbusters. Your 9/11 is haunted. Oh, by James Dean, and the 1911 by General Patton. So got it. G-Web says, you don't show the first 10 seconds of a video. You show the 10 seconds of the money shot. Yeah, I mean, it's playing with it and figuring it out. It's going to have to be something that captivates the attention, but there's also going to have to be, if there's not some type of call to action, because you're able to put, you've got a subscribe button there. That's a good thing on the shorts. As far as them showing up on the shelf, right? And this is what I hear from other creators in other countries. You've got a subscribe button. That's great. You want that there. And then you're able to put a card in, one of the little things that pops up, I guess, on this side of the screen and pops out. So getting your timing right on that card that points to a full video, really, that's all I can see. I don't know why we would use it as far as the gun tubers go. I can see other niches and other silly stuff that do the TikTok thing and the little weird videos dancing or something like that. I get it. But for us, I think the vast majority of people that consume our content,
Drummer, there could be, you know, Clover dancing, right?
I guess so. But I just don't see it. I think most of the viewers that we get want some type of substance. They're not.
Yeah.
I don't watch firearm videos for entertainment. I don't watch much videos at all for entertainment. It's got to have...
You don't like decompress and then just watch a couple of fun ones?
Not really.
No cat videos?
It's almost got to be, for me, it's almost got to have some type of element of education to it. So I'm watching
too
stuff.
Brainy.
I watch stuff about the solar system. I'll watch stuff about movies, but I'll watch stuff like film theory.
How it's done. Yeah.
Where they take and they dissect certain parts of movies or things like that. Mm-hmm. So like I said, there's an element of education in that because they talk about it. Like the one of the more recently I watched it again, but it had to do with the actual cost if we tried to build a Death Star. and so there was a lot of math. It was going into raw materials and a lot of math, and then it brought in the Star Wars universe and it said, hey, you know, it's a really overwhelming task for Earth, but you got to remember that the Empire had multiple dozens or whatever, hundreds or thousands of planets across the galaxy contributing to the effort via taxes and everything else. So it's not as overwhelming. Anyway, it got into the amount of steel and it was really neat. They were comparing it to building a battleship or an aircraft carrier, and then extrapolating the cost out of all the different equipment and stuff like that. Again, it was, you nerd out on that sort of stuff, or at least I did, right? It wasn't just raw entertainment. Yeah, there was an entertainment aspect. And I think that everybody that turns on the camera and does something, I think they have to be entertaining in some way, whether they've got a little bit of humor or, you know, they're playing with their parrot on camera or whatever.
I'm just trying to keep them quiet from making all sorts of noise.
Right. The James out there, he says, could you do a regular video, 9/17, then pick a few things, make a short, then link the full size into the short. You could, but again, I think with a limit of 15 seconds, you need some type of call to action, I think. And so that don't leave a lot of time. I mean, you can't get, you know, you could get a lot of shots off, I guess, in 15 seconds, but, you know, you got to be able to shoot, then you got to be able to have things in frame, and you got a vertical format. Remember that you've got that silly vertical format, and vertical format is not conducive for making videos. It's just not. And I understand that the future is probably going that way. Before too long, we're probably all going to be watching vertical TVs the way it's going.
No,
But you don't think it'll ever change that way? Because the kids love it.
Nah, the cinematography, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Now, Rich White's got a good point out there. He says, G-Webs says too, Rich says, the Empire also used slave labor, Ugnaughts, for example, that helped cut costs. That is true. Labor costs, material costs, still tough. And G-Webs says, and they had clones, and that is true. I did not know we would get into Star Wars in the last, you know.
Star Wars geekery.
Right. G-Webs says, a galactic empire can add like 1 cent Death Star tax on the galaxy and pay it off within a fiscal year 3079. He says, I forgot what it said, but it said like to build the outer hull, just the outer hull, right? At the world's GDP, it would take like 11,000 years. I mean, just numbers that are mind boggling, just mind boggling. And that's the outer shell. That's basically the armor. That's not any of the stuff on the inside, which is crazy. G-Web says, oh, come on, vertical TV. What the heck is this?
Maybe to like vertical TV touchscreen to order at McDonald's, but I don't know about home.
Yeah,
that'd be on your refrigerator, on your $3,000 refrigerator.
Yeah, but did you ever? Yeah, I mean, I don't see the progression. Now that we're talking about it out loud and we're wargaming this vertical versus horizontal thing, like Vogue, like Madonna here. You know, when we went from 4-3, remember 4-3 aspect ratio? It's still out there, by the way.
Yeah, you look at old videos, you're like, oh my God, it's square.
Right. You could see a purpose in 16:9, right?
Yes.
And even now they've got a different aspect ratio. I can't think of what it is now, but it's even thinner and wider. You can see a point to that because it gets more in the frame, right? And every picture is worth 1,000 words. So obviously the more stuff you have in a frame, the better you can tell the story and all of this kind of stuff. So I don't see what being vertical adds to anything. And if you're out there, if you're in the live chat, if you're in replay, comment below. If you think that being vertical with your video adds anything in that sense. But I don't see it. I don't know what it would add.
I just think it's for people that can't turn horizontal.
Or maybe they're too lazy to turn horizontal. I don't know why. I don't get people's thought when they turn on the camera. And it aggravates the bejesus out of me because I would have people come on the podcast or whatever, and I would always ask them for pictures. And I could try to do a thumbnail. And I swear to you, every single time, it was all vertical pictures, vertical pictures, vertical pictures.
Well, I did professional photography in New York, and the vast majority, unless you're doing like two people together, everything's horizontal. And if you shoot square format, you just crop, you have crop lines in the viewfinder, and you just get them in the center box. You can make it horizontal or vertical.
James Peller, it says, is make it fit the phone format better. If you don't turn your phone, turn your phone, it doesn't matter.
Well, what about when you have two screens, when you're going to have, either the Fold or like the Microsoft phone, that's two separate screens.
Speaking of that, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, so we got to get through this here. But speaking of that, you talk about the phone that folds. Has anybody seen the new Motorola Razr? I am a huge Motorola Razr guy from way back. I loved my Motorola Razr phones. Loved them. There is a Motorola Razr flip phone smartphone. It's the new one. And it actually flips like the Razr. And when it flips, it's a full screen. It's got a half screen when it's folded down. It's got a half screen. And you flip it open, and it's a full screen. Warsaw Pager says, those ain't cheap. They probably aren't. But I seen that the other day. I think it was an ad that popped up on YouTube in front of a video. And I sit there and watch the entire ad. That's one I did not skip because I was mesmerized. I was like, that's freaking awesome. I've got to where I like my Samsungs, but, it's just nostalgia that...
I want my old Nokia brick back. That's what I want.
Oh yeah, no kidding. I had a hard mount back in the day. It was actually screwed down underneath the seat of the car and all that stuff. Yeah. And the phone bill, you got like 5 minutes for like $60 a month or something. You know, it was pretty expensive. Needless to say, I didn't make many calls from it. I had it more than anything. I had it just to it rode in that car without service on it more than it rode in the car with service on it. I put it that way, but it always had power. It always looked cool sitting there for sure. Rich out there said he likes the look of the Samsung Galaxy Fold better than the new Razr. I don't guess I've seen the new Galaxy Fold, so I'm going to have to check that out. I did see one that TPC says he wants his BlackBerry Curve back. That was a cool phone.
Dude, I remember in Manhattan when you had a BlackBerry Curve, you were the boss.
You were the stuff, yeah.
And I
BlackBerry,
had
one. BlackBerry was one of them things. I like the way they look. I never could get into them because I could not. The people that could operate them like a Banshee, but I had troubles with them. So that's it. We are done here. So for everybody in the live chat out there, thanks, man. You didn't send us down too many rabbit holes, which is awesome. Congrats to James. He won the YouTube trivia. Go check out the Rock Island Armory, the All Generations or the AG-12 that's coming out if you if you're in the market for a shotgun for whatever legal purposes you're into. That one, officially released today. And let's give Rich a few minutes. Final thoughts, stuff like that, plugs if you want to go. Rich, go ahead and throw those out there.
Yeah, sure. My website's flyingrich.com. My YouTube is youtube.com/flyingrich. I'm flyingrich_official on Instagram. He's pebblesbird on Instagram. And I, you know, kind of want to give a shout out to Brownells. I was with Hank Strange and Roy Hill from Brownells on Saturday over in Lakeland, Florida. And it's Cigar Life in Lakeland, Florida, really nice cigar shop. And they had a fundraiser for, let's see, it's South, is it South? Oh gosh, it's Guide Dogs. And they do guide dogs, you know, for seeing eye dogs and emotional support dogs. Mm-hmm. And they had a couple of vets up there telling you stories that like just ripped your heart out. You just wanted to give them money. It was an amazing story, a real touching event, and you know, had fun with some really good people. They raised a lot of money. They did a couple of auctions, so that was fun.
Awesome. So there's Outlaw Hatfield out there, and he should have a good show coming up here shortly. Be sure you check that out. Calaveras says his dad had a bag phone for years, still remembers those. Interesting tidbit before we leave tonight on those bag phones. You'll have to Google it. Not real sure about it, but I know for a fact there's companies that convert those bag phones. I know people that are in the oil and gas industry, pipeline, often in places way out where there's not really any signal. And they get those bag phones converted so they're able to talk in places that have a lot less signal than you can reach on just a regular phone nowadays. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a need for that and you can find an old bag phone somewhere, there are places that will convert it. I don't know the cost, blah, 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 or the tech behind it, but I know they can do it. So with that, we're out on a Monday. Thanks for hanging out. Peace.